Well, good morning. Not sure if the bell rang. I guess it did. Yeah? Okay. Good morning. Good to see everybody. A beautiful morning it is. Our first Sunday of Advent. The sanctuary looks beautiful, doesn't it? So thanks to the Christian Ed Committee and the others that helped on Wednesday night put up the tree. And we have some poinsettias here that people have already brought in memory of loved ones. If you're still bringing one, that's totally up to you, but just let the church office know. Probably in 2 weeks from today, we'll have the listing in the Sunday bulletin of who the plants are in memory of. So thank you for sharing those with us. Some other announcements that I have to go over here, just real quick. We do start our Christmas program practices today after church. Most of you are familiar with how that goes. The children and teachers, they'll have lunch in the social hall first and then come back in here for practice. Should be done by 1:30. Well, they will be done by 1:30. So if you're coming to pick up your kids, just try to be here on the early side of that, okay? To get them, please. Better early than late, I always say, right? The children in Denise Handel's class, they do not stay for practice on these afternoon times. They're working on their parts during Sunday school, okay? Soup Kitchen is this Saturday already. That's a fun and exciting day in the social hall. Starts at 11 in the morning to 7. If you haven't picked up your, there's reminder slips of what you signed up either to bring and or to work. So get those afterwards, please. Also on Saturday, I had an email from Barb Ulmer down at the Stone Church. They have that evening at 7 o'clock their old-fashioned Christmas worship service. Some of you have gone to that. This is, I think, the 9th year that they've done that. So that'd be a fun time to attend that Saturday evening. After you have your soup and sandwiches for supper, you can just head down there. Enjoy that service. Let's see. Oh, I wanted to thank Shirley Mettler and Marilee Houck for the display out front, too. If you came in the front entrance, you see a beautiful display. If you didn't, you'll have to go out there and look at it. It's a nice Christmas display. Last thing I believe that I have to mention is the next two Sundays, we'll have a separate offering plate at the back of the sanctuary. That's to help with the expenses of the sacks that we give out on Christmas Eve. So we always make up 150 of them, and usually we give out that many on that night for the children, youth, college students. Yeah, usually. Got to take care of our college students. So you see what it costs there to fill those. They're very nice sacks, so that's what those. We have the special offering for those the next two Sundays. The rest of the announcements, please read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, What a glorious day it is. The sun shining so bright, the weather beautiful. All weekend it has been, and certainly today, more of the same. And we thank you for that as people are traveling here and there, but especially that it's easy to come to church this morning. No reason not to. And we are here, Father, because we love you. And we want to worship and adore you together and magnify your name as brothers and sisters in Christ. As we begin this season of Advent with such excitement all around us, as we celebrate, Jesus, your birth 2,000 years ago, and as we look forward to your return, we know that we are living in the last days, and your return could be at any time. Help us to always be ready, to live ready as if it were today. So, Father, as we come to gather to praise your name, we ask that you fill this sanctuary with your glory and manifest the power of your presence here in our midst. Lord, I've said many times, our prayer would be like Moses's was when he said, Lord, if you don't go with us, we're not moving, because who else is it that separates us from all the other peoples on the earth but you, your presence, Lord God, and your power and your glory. So thank you for moving among us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The eighth graders will be helping to do the Advent reading, lighting the Advent candle. So girls, come on up. We have Ashlyn Fergan, and you all three come up. Zoe Schaefer and Ellie Fisher. Hold the microphone close, please, and read slow. Okay? All right, go ahead.
As we begin the season of Advent, our attention is drawn to the Holy Scriptures and the hymns of praise given to the Christ child, which were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God through his servants, Elizabeth, Mary, Zechariah, and Simon. Our scripture reading today will be from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 45, when Elizabeth said the following words to Mary, "Blessed is she who has believed that what Lord has said to her will be accomplished."
As we light this candle, Advent candle, we praise God, a beautiful example of faith that we find in Mary. As she first heard a word from God, she then believed God's word, submitted to herself unto it, and she praised God by faith, his answer, before seeing the promise come to pass.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the measure of faith that you have placed within each one of us as your children. Help us to respond to your word in the same way that Mary did when she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Let us also be filled with your Holy Spirit as that we may worship you freely, just like Elizabeth did when Mary came to visit her. On this first Sunday of Advent, we surrender ourselves unto you, Heavenly Father, and to your perfect will and plan for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, girls. Very good. Let's stand. Our opening hymn will be number 245, O Come, Emmanuel, 245. Spring. death's dark shadows hurl to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations bright, all peoples in one heart. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Amen. Beautiful hymn for this first Sunday of Advent. Well, take a moment. Please greet those around you before you are seated. Good morning. Bless you. Good morning, Don.
Bless you.
It's all right. Okay, well, let's have our sharing of joys and concerns here. I'm going to start with you today. I don't have too much written down, so anything over here on this side? Well, okay. Well, I do have to say, I don't mean to put them on the spot, but Nadia and Jan Mutter, Nadia's parents, I hope that's okay if I announce, are here from Virginia with us. Good to have you and good to meet you. Nadia is our principal at the high school here, and Jan works for the school system as well. So, welcome. Okay, over here on this side. Sandra?
I am sitting beside a birthday girl today.
Yes, you are. Arlen Seiler's birthday is today. Yes, it is. And I don't know if Virgil's... Oh, Virgil is back there. He's trying to hide behind his bulletin. Today is his birthday, too, and Renee's was yesterday. Happy birthday to them. And I think I see Tyler Bellow back there. Good to see you, Tyler, and wife and kids. God bless you. Okay. Some of Calvin's family is here, too. Good to have you guys. Yes. Okay. Sorry to hear that. There's a lady from Scotland named Penny. Oh,
Olivet.
From Olivet. Oh, I think I might know them. Penny Breeding, who has cancer, and her son is in the hospital also. What's his first name? Do you know? Okay, all right. Prayers for them. Certainly for Marvin Gehring as he continues through his treatments and several others listed in the bulletin here. Okay, let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for family still visiting here with us over the Thanksgiving weekend. It's a joy to see them, a joy to have them, and we pray for safe travels as they return home. And probably people from here that are out traveling, we just ask for your traveling mercies throughout this weekend, Lord. We lift up Penny Breeding. Father, as she's in the cancer battle as well. As we pray for these other, Marvin Gehring and Lonnie Herbolt and Ken Winterstein, Jan Nebelsek, we pray for this little girl, Willow May, 3.5 years old, also diagnosed recently with cancer, and others who are not mentioned by name, but you know them, who are in the same struggle. We lift them all to you, Jesus. Daily, weekly, as we come together, asking for your power to be mightily at work within them. For Penny's son, who's also in the hospital, we lift him up to you as well. Many others, Lord, thank you for being our great physician. For birthdays here today and yesterday and probably in the coming week, anniversaries, it's such an exciting time for all of those. Bless these people and these individuals. Lord, for the excitement in the hearts of the children during this season of Advent and in all of our hearts, we worship you and thank you because you are the reason, Jesus, for it all. For our nation, we do pray daily, thanking you by faith for the work that you are doing across this nation, turning the hearts of the people back to you, opening the eyes of their understanding, Jesus, to see you for who you are. We pray for our troops, so many that we have in our own congregation who are serving abroad, who are serving full-time, Travis in Virginia and Logan out in California and others around the nation, but who aren't with their families. We ask that you watch over them and bless them. Keep them safe. Thank you, Father, for your provision in so many ways. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." That's us, right? "This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Who is it that overcomes the world? He says it again. "Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." That's the key right there. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology together, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And Father, we do praise you again for the beautiful weather that makes it easy for us to gather here in this sanctuary. Father, for your amazing plan of redemption that comes to us through Jesus Christ, through Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, and certainly, Lord, to you alone be all of the glory. And so we give, we bring our offerings and our tithes into this storehouse, not just dropping them in a box, but sowing them into your kingdom, the best soil of all, that your word can be proclaimed loud and clear throughout this region and far beyond, that yes, Jesus, you are Lord of all. You are Lord of heaven and earth, and there is no other way to come to the Father except through you. So we praise you and thank you for multiplying these gifts for your work, Lord God, in Jesus' name. We pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time. Come on down. Oh, where's our helper today? Where's Anne?
Oh, my goodness.
Come on.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just not very prepared today.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. It's a children's time? Oh, I didn't even get my shoes all on yet. Oh, my goodness. Do you ever feel like you're not prepared for something? I know. You either. You don't have a shoe on either. I'm not the only one not prepared. You do. Do you ever feel like you're not? Have you ever been not prepared to do something? Huh? Yeah, like now I'm just looking and seeing. Oh gosh, here's my Bible and oh, here's my notes that I did last night. Oh, I just can't even do it. Do you know what the problem is? Do you know why I'm not prepared? This is the problem. Do you see this? What time does it say? 7:30. It's 7:30 in the morning, right? So I don't have to be prepared yet. Right? No, it's not 7:30? What time is it? 10. Oh my, see, it's this is the reason I'm not prepared. And sometimes we're not prepared. Like, do you ever go to school and, you know, and the weather forecast says it's going to be really cold, but you're not prepared. You don't bring your boots or your gloves or your hats, right? And then you get cold. How about you older ones? Do you ever have a spelling test like tomorrow and you didn't prepare and study for it? Yeah. Yeah, right. So we all have to prepare. Never. Like every day we have to prepare. How do you prepare when you get ready for school? What do you have to do before you go to school? Put on your shoes.
Get your backpack.
Get your backpack.
Eat breakfast.
Put your shoes on. Get your homework packed, everything packed. Do your chores. Ooh.
Get to the bus before you miss it.
Get to the bus before you miss it. That's really good. Get your snow pants. Get your boots. Get your computer. Everything, right? Don't forget to get dressed. Yeah, don't forget your shoes, right? Right. We have to be prepared. And like for your classes and for those that have tests, you have to prepare, right? Well, today we started the first Sunday in Advent. You know what Advent means? Coming. It means coming. And what are two things that we're waiting to come? What's the first thing that we celebrate? Christmas. We're waiting for Christmas. And what do we celebrate on Christmas? Whose birthday is it? Jesus is right. We're excited to celebrate the birth of Jesus, right? And do you know what else we're waiting for? Yeah, Christmas presents, right? I know, right. We are, that's right. What? We're waiting for 2023. We're waiting for Jesus to come back. Because he said that he's going to come back and get us. When he went to heaven, he says, don't worry, I'm going to come back and get you someday. Well, do you know when he's coming?
No.
Do you know?
No.
You don't know? Oh, how about you? Do you know when he's coming? You don't know either? How about you? Do you know, Kelly? No. You know what? I don't know either. I don't know either. And Jesus told those that were asking him, when are you coming? And Jesus says, keep watch because you don't know. You don't know, and I don't know, the day or the hour when Jesus is coming back. So we need to be prepared. How do you think we get prepared for Jesus coming back? Coming back and taking us to heaven. How do we prepare? We do this. We come to church, and we come to Sunday school, and we learn about God every day, and we read our Bibles, and we pray, and we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to be the best boys and girls we can be,
and we learn.
We are ready, right? We're ready. Yeah, we're ready for Jesus to come back. You do also, right? We get those things too. Yep, those are my slippers. But The main thing is that we need to remember to be ready every single day, because like I said, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. We know when we're going to celebrate his birthday on Christmas, but we don't know when he's coming back. But we do know this, he is coming back. So we live our heart ready every single day. Okay? Let's pray. Ready? Let's pray. Father, we worship you and love you. We're so excited for this Christmas season, this Advent season. We look forward to celebrating your birthday, Jesus, and when you came to be our Messiah. We also look forward to you coming back. We don't know if it's today, if it's later, if it's tomorrow, or if it's in a long way away, Lord, but we know you are coming back. Help us to be ready. Help us as boys and girls and adults to be ready every single day, to tell you every single day we love you and we can't wait to see you. Bless these boys and girls wherever they go. Help them to tell others that you are coming back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get your papers.
Okay, thank you, Anne. Oh, such excitement in the children. It's fun to see. Very fun. Well, we have a special music here this morning that we are very excited about also. Caden Fisher is still home from college, so we can't let him go without hearing him sing. He's going to sing a song called Hallelujah as soon as the children sit down. And thanks to Linda Kreneisel for playing for him, too.
Praising to the sky. Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
Thank you, Caden. Thank you, Linda, for playing along. Caden's a sophomore, right, at SDSU. So we thank God for the gift of music that he has put within him. It's beautiful. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, all the earth, all of your creation sings your praises. Thank you for the voices you've given us to sing your praises. Thank you for the songs of praise that we see throughout your word, as you prophesied so many times regarding the coming of the Messiah. As we look into it beginning today, Lord, let our hearts be filled with praises to your name. And thanksgiving for your goodness and your great plan of redemption. We love you, Lord. I ask that you'd speak through me to those gathered here today, and I thank you for it by the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. The verses you know very well. The account of Luke's gospel, the birth of Christ. We'll hear it again. We'll hear it on Christmas Eve, but you've heard it 100 times for sure, if not more. But it's good to hear it always. What we're going to look through this Advent season is 4 different hymns of praise spoken out first today by Elizabeth. We'll look at the hymn of praise that the Holy Spirit spoke through Mary, then through Zechariah, then through Simeon. These are all prophetic hymns of praise regarding the coming and the birth of Christ. So Luke 1, verse 26. In the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her 6th month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, and this is called her song of praise right here, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Amen. In this, today we see really there's two miracles taking place, two conception miracles, if we could say that. One in Elizabeth's womb, one in Mary's womb. Gabriel's message here to Mary in Luke, verse 1, 36 and 37, he says to her, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age." That was a miracle, because Zechariah and Elizabeth were beyond their childbearing years. "And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month of pregnancy. For nothing is impossible with God." That's a verse we all like right there, isn't it? We claim that in many situations. Nothing is impossible with God. Back in Luke chapter 1, when we see the introduction to Zechariah and Elizabeth, I didn't read that today, but there it says they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. So there are three times in chapter 1 of Luke that they're making sure we get the point. This couple is beyond the childbearing years, like Sarah and Abraham, except they were even older. Elizabeth was estimated in commentaries, figured to be about 60 or 70 years old when she conceived. Her conception was not supernatural. She was not a virgin, so because Zechariah was the father, but it was a miracle that she was able to conceive. So they lived, just real quick here, Mary, who's going to eventually, she's going to go down there to this village in the hill country of Judea, as the scripture says, where Zechariah and Elizabeth were from. That, they say, Enkerem, and I'm not probably saying it right in Hebrew, I'm sure I'm not, but it's about 4 miles southwest of Jerusalem. Mary and Joseph were up in Nazareth in northern Israel, so it was a good 70 miles down to Jerusalem and then the other 4 miles to where Zechariah and Elizabeth's home was. In the first part of this, so God is going to give confirmation to Mary about what the angel said to her. And she's going to need it, wouldn't we? My goodness, who would have imagined? Yes, it was prophesied back in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that the virgin would be with child and she would give birth to a son and his name would be called Emmanuel. 700 years before it ever happened, they knew the prophecies, but did Mary think she was going to be the one? No, she did not. So this was like, oh. Verse 39, let me read that again. At that time, this is after the angel Gabriel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried down to a town in the hill country of Judea. So just outside of Jerusalem, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. She needed that confirmation, and the angel Gabriel had given her the hint of, even Elizabeth, your relative, is pregnant, and she is actually 6 months along. That alone, in Mary's mind, would have been, really? Serious. She knew, but you think in that day, going 74 miles, that was not just an easy thing to do. Did Mary know anything about what happened to Zechariah in the temple 6 months earlier? I highly doubt it. Because word didn't travel, no social media. But you know what? She needed her faith to be strengthened, and God knew she needed that. So he's providing these confirmations. So she gets there, and first, and this can be in our life too, we have to live by faith. We think we know what tomorrow holds. We plan for tomorrow, but Ultimately, we don't. Anything could happen. Just this last week, we had some tragic accidents in our area right here, just north of Scotland, those two fatalities in that accident. And we don't know. We do not know. So Mary is living this thing out. So first, there's a personal confirmation. She gets there to Elizabeth Zachariah's house, and with her own eyes, it's pretty obvious, Elizabeth is 6 months along. Oh, it's true. You are with child. The personal confirmation. Secondly, there was the physical confirmation that happened, as Elizabeth said, as soon as I heard your greeting with my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Leaped in my womb. And who was that baby in her womb? We ought to all know that. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And what was he saying silently through his woo leap in her womb? I'm sure Elizabeth jumped too. He was saying, it's him. He's the Messiah. That's the one who I'm going to tell people about to prepare the way of the Lord. And third, it was the prophetic confirmation. The prophetic confirmation. As Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, it says she began to prophesy by the Holy Spirit of God. She did not know that Mary was going to be the one to carry the Christ child, but she starts speaking by the Holy Spirit. Again, as we live our lives of faith, day by day on this earth, this time that God has put us here, we need confirmations from the Lord in whatever area your decisions you're dealing with, moves, job changes, family situations, all kinds of things. We pray about those. Now, they're not always as, well, most often not as supernatural as Mary and Elizabeth had here, but they can be pretty spectacular. Time when God spoke to my heart about going to the Navajos out of seminary, that was, I'm not going into it all now, but a very spectacular moving of the Holy Spirit of God in me and upon me to get me to realize that's where he was calling me. I mean, there was no doubt about it in my heart or my mind that that's where God was calling me after seminary. And so he did. And what do we need those times for? Because when we run into the difficult places, as we all do, when I got out there, and I mean, there were great times, but boy, there were hard times. You know a lot of them. That's what I always went back to. That time when I was on my spring break trip in seminary there and went out for that week, and what God did to me that week, I always went back to that. Lord, I know you called me there. I know you did. So we hang on to those things, okay? So Elizabeth or Mary was hanging on to these different confirmations that, yes, this was the angel Gabriel. Yes, this was going to be the Messiah in her womb that she was carrying. So let's look in now to the Psalm of Praise, because in this song of Elizabeth, she is proclaiming blessings in four different ways that we're going to see. Blessings as God is speaking through her to encourage Mary. Listen to verse 41 of Luke chapter 1. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and in a loud voice, she exclaimed. I mean, I'm sure she's just, whoa, out there. And her song of praise is what follows. First, in her prophecy, she is pronouncing a blessing upon Mary herself. Verse 42, the first part of it. What does she say? Blessed are you among women. That's the first part of it. Blessed are you among women. So, because why? Because of who Mary was? No. Yes, she was special. Yes. To be the one chosen to carry the Christ child, yes. But because she of who she was? No. No, but because of her willingness by faith to say unto the Lord, I am the Lord's servant, let it be done unto me according to your word. Let it be done unto me. That right there, you've heard me say it probably many times over the years here, is so important for us to say, let it be done unto me according to your word. When you're studying the scriptures or you hear sermons and the Holy Spirit touches your heart with a challenge of, wow, you know, I guess I need to be doing that in my life, whatever it might be, but I don't know how I can do it. In my own self, I can't do it. That's right where God wants you. That's right where he wants you. In myself, I cannot do it. But what he needs you to say is, Lord, okay, let it be done unto me according to your word. Let it be. Again, when I went to the Navajos, I'm like, I cannot live out here. There is no grass. There are no trees. It is solid rocks and tumbleweeds and stickers, sem sage, and canyons. And I've never lived in a place like that in my life. And I don't think I like it. Because I like the grass and the trees and the pastures and the fields and the crops and all that. And I was telling that to God. But each time I'd finish with, Lord, if this is where you want me to go, I'll go. I will go. And of course, we loved it there, those 11 years when we were there. So blessed are you among women, okay? Some would say that Mary was born without sin herself. The Bible does not say that. Does not say that anywhere. Jesus was born without sin, and that's why he had to be born of the Virgin Mary. That was the only way it could happen, because the sin nature went through conception. The sin nature is passed through the seed of the man, the blood. And I have got a whole sermon on that. I can't do it today or we won't get to this. Passed through the seed of the man. That's why Jesus, being born of the virgin, he could be born sinless. That's why we are all born in sin, all the way back to Adam and Eve, because that sin nature is passed on from one to another for every generation, but not with Jesus. Okay? So it had to be this way. All the glory goes to God. Just, yes, Mary was blessed to be the one, again, chosen to give birth to the Christ child. But no more she's blessed than we are as we live our lives in Christ. We are blessed also, okay? There was in Luke chapter 11, verse 27, there was a time, this was when Jesus was adult in his ministry, there was a lady in the crowd that hollered out one time, interrupted Jesus when he was teaching, and she says, Jesus, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. In other words, trying to give praise to Mary. And what'd Jesus say? Yeah, you're right. Yes, you are right. No, he didn't say that. No, he said, blessed instead are those who hear the word of God and obey it. He was taking the attention off of her, putting it back on God's word where it needs to be. Second, the blessing upon the Christ child in this song of praise. Second part of verse 42. So first part, blessed are you among women. Second, and blessed is the child you will bear. Yes, Mary, you are blessed. But the child within your womb is more blessed. He is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Word made flesh. And even Elizabeth, in this prophecy, she speaks out and calls him my Lord. We'll get to that here in the fourth point, in just a second. She's pronouncing blessing upon the Christ child, speaking that this is the Savior, the Messiah. She's not the only one. The angel Gabriel, back in verse 31, 32, when he's talking to Mary there at first, he says, you're going to be with child. You're going to give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called Son of the Most High. There were many blessings pronounced upon the Christ child at conception and in the womb and even after. Third, a blessing upon herself in this prophecy contains that. First, blessed are you among women. Second, blessed is the child you will bear. Third, but why am I so favored, she says, that the mother of my Lord, right there, the mother of my Lord, she's calling him deity. She's saying God. Why am I so blessed that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The New Living says it like this, what an honor it is that the mother of my Lord should come to me. As soon, and she says it again, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. The blessing upon herself. Mary is blessed, yes. The child is more blessed. Elizabeth is saying, and I am blessed. Hers, her blessing, she was saying, I am so humbled to be a part of this plan that God has. It is truly incredible. She knew she wasn't anybody either. Mary wasn't either. Yeah, Elizabeth was, her husband was in the priesthood. So as far as naturally speaking, that brought her socially to a little higher status, okay? Mary was just a peasant girl, a nobody, but loved the Lord, loved his word, was faithful to him. And she's saying, wow, why am I so favored to be a part of this plan? Did Zechariah tell Mary the details of the vision in the temple that led to her conception? I don't have a verse for you, but I would say probably. But remember, Zechariah couldn't speak because he doubted the Lord there when he was ministering in the temple, and the angel came to him and said, your wife is going to be with child. He's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. And he said, how can I be sure of this since we are well old and advanced in years? And the angel answers, and I'm not going into all that, but basically, remember, he says, you are not going to be able to speak anymore till this baby's born. How'd you like to go on a 9-month speechless trip? So everything he had to write was on there, maybe a little scroll. You know, he had to write it all out to her, tell her about this baby that's in her womb is going to be the forerunner of the Messiah, which was prophesied in Micah, prophesied in Malachi. They knew that, but they didn't know who or how this was all going to happen. Just like we talk about the second coming of Christ, we have scriptures that tell us a lot about it, and we think we know all about it. But we don't know all about it. There's going to be things that happen that we're going to be like, oh, well, I didn't see that coming that way. Yeah, I've looked at the scriptures a whole bunch about the second coming of Christ, but I sure didn't see that. And our eyes will be opened and we'll be like, oh, I see it now. Just like for them, they had studied the Old Testament scriptures. They knew them well. And still, it was a surprise, surprise, surprise. Elizabeth was humbled by God working through her with John the Baptist in her womb, and secondly, then to be able to prophesy to Mary about the child in her womb. In Luke chapter 1, I want to read this quick. Where, again, this is the angel talking to Zechariah about John the Baptist. He says to him, many of the people of Israel will he, John the Baptist, bring back to the Lord their God. Now listen when I'm reading this, and you, I thought, I even said to the Lord, I said, Lord, do we ever need a bunch of John the Baptist people in America today? We do. He will bring the people back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of righteousness, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. If Jesus comes now, in this year, there's going to be a whole lot of people left behind. And I'm not trying to sound like I'm better than anybody or a judge, because I'm not. But there's a whole lot of the nation that could care less about the Lord. And we need revival. We need revival. God can work through us. I'm so amazed many times, just even in the congregation, as I see God working in you and through you to bless other people. It's truly amazing. Fourth, let's get to this one. This is a blessing upon all who believe. This is where we come into this picture. A blessing on all who would believe. Verse 45. She's still given this song of praise, speaking by the Holy Spirit of God. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. All right. So that, yes, it's talking about Mary specifically. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said will be accomplished. Yes. But it wasn't in the first person this time. She didn't say, by the Holy Spirit of God, I'll say the Holy Spirit didn't say, blessed are you because you have believed that what the Lord has said will be accomplished. And there's a reason, because God has a reason for everything he says, right? No, he puts it into third person. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. So yes, in the context right there, to Mary, absolutely. Third person, I believe, because it's talking to all of us who have ever lived since, us who are seated right here today. Blessed are each one of you as you take God at his word and believe that what he says will be accomplished in your lives. That's what he wants to hear from us. Just like what Mary said to that angel Gabriel right there. We have such a great example of faith in Mary. It's incredible. Follow her example there. She heard the word of the Lord from the angel Gabriel. He told it to her. She was right to say what she said. Well, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel explained it to her. Hers was more of a question of faith than Zachariah's was. Well, how do you know that? Well, because of the reaction, because Zachariah, with his answer, the angel said, no, you're not going to talk for the next 9 months. Keep your mouth shut. In other words, so you don't mess this deal up, right? And we mess things up with our mouths so many times. Faith, our words are so important. So she heard it, she believed it, and she submitted herself to God's plan and said again, I am the Lord's servant. I like how it says in the New King James, let it be unto me according to your word. Right there. Say that. Say it to the Lord. Lord, I lift this up to you as you're feeling him lead you in certain ways and decisions. Okay, Lord, I don't really understand this, but I feel you're leading me in this way, and so let it be unto me according to your word. All right, let's go, whatever it is. And then she praised God for the answer before she ever saw it. What do you mean by that? Well, you got to come back next Sunday. Because Mary's song of faith starts in verse 46, where we're leaving off right now. That's true faith. Zechariah said, how can I be sure of this? In essence, the angel's answer, I'm paraphrasing now with this part, okay? It's like the angel was saying to Zechariah, you can't be sure. You're going to have to trust. You're going to have to trust. So, bloop, no more words out of your mouth for 9 months. We all have a part in proclaiming the message of the gospel. And you know what? This is one of the best seasons to do it in. Right now, the Advent season, it's pretty hard if people are atheists, agnostic, whatever they might claim to be. It's pretty tough to get away from it, as much as the world tries. Some department stores tell their employees, okay, all right, you're not saying Merry Christmas, okay? You could say Happy Holidays, things like that, but don't want to hear you saying Merry Christmas. Why? Oh, because that might offend somebody. Well, too bad. When I'm in a store and somebody says that to me, I just say Merry Christmas. I'm not going to say Happy Holidays back. I'm going to say Merry Christmas, right? Because Christ is in that word. They try to get around it, but they can't. This is one of the best times of the year to tell people about Jesus and what he has done for us as we sing our songs of praise. So reach out. Reach out. I can't. No, that's where you need to say, okay, Lord, let it be to me. Let it be done unto me according to your word. You know I'm shy. You know I don't like to do that. But if you put the person in front of me and the door's open, I'll try to do it. Make that your prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, that is our prayer. As we follow you as a congregation, I thank you for everyone here today, Lord, young and old alike, and everywhere in between. We are here because we love you. We are here because we want to serve you. We want to be a light to the community and region in which we live. We want to be a life-saving station, Lord Jesus. As you bring victims of shipwreck to us, and we all fall into that in various ways, Lord, help us to be sensitive to the needs that are all around us and to reach out in faith, led by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 244. You know, in our hymnals, there's really only two Advent songs that we have, the first one and this last one. So let's stand and sing, Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus, 244. Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus, born to set Thy people free. From our fears and sins, release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, home of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal Spirit rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious. Amen. Please receive the benediction. Now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. Before you're seated, let me just have a prayer for the meal for the kids here. Father, thank you now for the meal and the program practice to follow. For all the teachers, the directors, the helpers, it takes a lot of people working together. for this Christmas Eve program, which is such a glorious night. We ask that you'd bless the food to the nourishment and strength of the little ones and the youth and the adults that will partake of it. Bless their time of program practice. Help it to go well. Help the children and youth to listen well and to be excited about doing this for you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Have a wonderful day. These next Sundays of Advent, there'll be prelude music as you come in instead of the choruses. So that's a time where we sit and we think on the Lord, prepare our hearts for the service. Thank you, Cindy, for the music.